been distracted by many things. But Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this morning. As the beauty of your sunshine rose up over the horizon once again this morning, drenching the landscape, the beauty around us, we pray that the light of your Son Jesus would rise up upon us and within us, drenching the beauty within and about us. Be in the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, that both will glorify you, Abba, and be a great blessing to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There is an old preacher story about how the Baptist preacher, they began to do their reading preparation for the next Sunday on Sunday afternoon. And then the Presbyterians, they begin to kick in somewhere around Tuesday or Wednesday. And then the non-denoms, they start around Thursday. And the Episcopal, they just are hoping that it's a very long gospel hymn for them. I feel a little bit like that this morning. So, and the words that kind of jumped out at me were Jesus's words to Martha. Don't you just love the tension that is there between Martha and Mary? Doesn't that just sound like two sisters? Right? I mean, it really does. I'm doing all the work, Jesus. Tell her to get up there and help me. I can remember times when my sister said about that about me, and but choices. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Aren't those good words? And so you know as well as I do that our choices always have consequences, right? Sometimes intended, sometimes unintended. And our choices, our action, tends to reveal who we are and whose we are. Jesus said a little bit about that in this verse from the Gospel of John. Familiar verses. Chapter 15, beginning at the 15th verse. Says, I do not call you servant any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Isn't that pretty clear whose we are, isn't it? And at some point in time, we did have to make a choice. We did have to choose to invite the Lord into our hearts and into our lives. But from the beginning, Jesus says, I have chosen you. I have chosen you because you are my beloved. You, the Father cherishes, values, takes great delight in. And so here ends the sermon. Amen?
Amen.
I don't think we need to hear, and I have a little bit more. But in some ways, do we need to hear any more of the truth that we are cherished, that we are God's beloved, that the Lord takes great delight in us? And I'm wondering that with Mary, if Jesus isn't taking great delight in her sitting, choosing to be with him, sitting at his feet, letting Martha do all the kitchen work, right, all the preparation. I can remember not too many years ago, going back to our choices always have consequences. And sometimes they're surprising and sometimes not so. Our son, Josh, and his family, and two little girls, 6 and 10-year-old granddaughters, Mimi and Poppy, by the way, they moved from the Raleigh area back to Western North Carolina in Leicester. And Deb comes up to me. We had a flourishing flower farm at that time up in Burnsville. And Deb comes up to me, as only my wife can do, kind of looking in my face, Kristen, says, honey, I think it's time for us to stop growing flowers and start to help growing grandkids. There's truth in that. Do you hear the choice, the choosing that's in that? And some of the some of the heart's desire, but when you make that kind of choice to move, you never really know quite for sure what it's going to look like, how it's going to work out. And for us, almost every Saturday is Mimi and Poppy date with our two granddaughters and our son. One of the great surprises for me is that I am here with you this morning. It was one of the unintended. Tim, I don't know if you might say the same when you started coming back. All of a sudden, in the choosing, the part of us choosing to follow where what you and I sense is the will of God, what God desires for us. And so there's lots of choosing that's going on in the gospel lesson. If we look at chapter 10 of Luke, it starts out with, there's so much work to do that Jesus has recruited 70 others. And he has gifted them, he has chosen them to go and represent him. He has given them his power and authority. And if you look at the very first verses of chapter 10, it's really a pretty neat story. Jesus has anointed them, he sends them out. And two by two, this is where the two by two comes from. And they are Jesus's advance team. Because it says he sends them to every city where he is going to be. And if they receive you, know that they have received me, Jesus saying. If they reject you, know that they have rejected me and the Father who has sent me. So, I mean, and so that sense of choosing, and they chose, they said yes. And it comes, they come back and they are filled with joy. Because they have chosen to be the ambassadors of Christ, and that's each of us, isn't it? In our own place of giftedness, where we and I are gifted, where we are called to ministry, and they are filled with joy for what happens. The next thing that happens is the story of the Good Samaritan, last week's gospel. And remember, there were three men that had a choice to stop and help care for the man that had been beaten up, and the first two did not. The Samaritan did, and it said his choice was the choosing for God's mercy to be put upon this man. And then we have the choice of Martha and Mary. And so I think what is really important with this short verse, and I'm coming to where it's one of my favorite. Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. And probably she was making the meal, not only for Jesus, but the disciples were traveling with Jesus. So she had a pretty good crowd to feed. And she would like to have help. And she sees her sister sitting down over here. It doesn't quite equate, does it? But Jesus, in this very direct, gentle way, Mary has chosen the better part. She has chosen the part to be with Jesus without distractions, without worries, just to simply be present. As I look back on, Tim, I don't know if you would say the same thing or not, but I think one of the biggest challenges for me as a pastor, that I would get so involved with the ministry, and all the different things that that came with it, from the pastoral care to the teaching to the worship, and all really, really good things. But I began to realize that the ministry I was called to was becoming a place of distraction and worry, to the point where I was neglecting to take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. That makes sense? We become so involved with who God has created us to be and to do that if we don't take the time, and I think we have to be intentional with it, simply to be with Jesus. And so here's an example of what happens when we take that time. Because taking time with Jesus can be, First of all, do you remember Ignatius of Loyola? You remember him, right? You can quote him. He was the founder of the Jesuit Society in the Roman Catholic Church and was famous for his teachings and retreats. And one of the most profound kind of learnings for me and awakening within me, when I was reading, he would, with his retreatants present, he said, I want you to go out and I want you just to think about what is that brings you joy. What are the things that bring you joy? What is most life-giving to you? And so they did that for a while. And then they went on with the retreat. At the very end of the retreat, he said, now, those things that began to rise up within you in terms of what brings you most joy, what is life-giving to you, he looked at them directly and he said, now, go home and do more of it. Go home and do more of what brings you joy and is life-giving. I think that is a way of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Remember, because he said, I have come that my joy would be in you and that your joy would be overflowing, would be complete. And I think the way that what brings us joy is almost always connected to something where we can bring more joy to others. The two are connected. So about 15 years ago, I'm with, I'll just ask your forgiveness ahead of time, okay? Okay, thank you. All right. What is he doing up there asking us to forgive him? I can't remember what stories I've shared with you and which ones I haven't. So if you've heard this, just receive it again, okay? So Julie and her husband had moved from California to Black Mountain, and they were going to St. James in Black Mountain, where I was a pastor for a number of years. And she had had cancer, was in remission. The cancer came back, and often as it does, it can be very challenging. It was bone cancer, so very painful. And I would go in once, several times a week, just to be with her, pray, have communion. There was one time when I went in and she was in excruciating pain, just awful pain. The meds weren't touching it very much. And I said, there's a prayer exercise, Julie, where you can choose to invite Jesus to come and be with you. I said, do you want to do that? And she was shaking her, anything but this, anything. And so I said, she lived in Montreat, in that beautiful kind of wooded area. And I said, just close your eyes and begin to see yourself in a place that's life-giving for you, a place of kind of deep joy that brings you joy. And say, I'll just shush. And you just, as you close your eyes, just let me know when you're there. And I said, we'll invite Jesus. You invite him and I'll invite him to come and be with you. And so she closed her eyes and she began to shake her head. Said, I'm on one of the beautiful trails out in that area. And I said, do you see Jesus? And she said, I do. He's just down the trail and he's walking towards me. I don't know how you explain this, but this is part of the mystery of Jesus saying, I have chosen you. and so she comes, he comes up to her, and I said, listen to Jesus. Whatever he might want to share with you, you share with him whatever you might want to share with him. And she just shook her head. And so I'm quiet now. 5 minutes. Can you believe it? Jeez. 10 minutes, just silence. She isn't so much sitting at the feet of Jesus, but she's walking with Jesus on that trail. 15 minutes goes by. It's getting more challenging for the pastor now at this point to keep his mouth shut. Somewhere around 17, 18 minutes, I share that whenever she's ready, you know, just come on back to this present moment. And then I shush again, and she continues to be with Jesus. And you can, you know, when we pray for someone else, it's really important to keep our eyes open to see what is happening. And what I began to see, somewhere in that 5-minute mark, is that her breathing began to decrease. Her body began to relax. There was a sense of this amazing peace that had come into this hospital room. And one of the miracles, in 20 minutes, not a single hospital staff person came in. And you know what I mean by that, right? They're doing good work. They must. And so about that 20-minute mark, she comes back, and she said, wow. Said, that was the first time in months that I have been pain-free. First time in months that she had been pain-free. And so there's always blessing that our Lord wants to impart to us. One friend to another friend, Jesus is saying. And so I would, in my own studies of Scripture, there are several patterns. One of them is Jesus. He always seems to be moving from teaching or talking about something into actually doing it. And so I would like to invite us this morning. I'd like to invite you to sit with Jesus. And so if you're comfortable, I would just invite you to close your eyes, because as long as our eyes are open, I think there's distraction. And so just to close your eyes. And just think of a place that you love to go to that's life-giving for you. Could be the beach, could be your back porch, could be a lake, these beautiful mountains. So just let yourself go there. Let the Holy Spirit help you. And for some, Jesus will be waiting for you in that place. For others, invite Jesus. Invite Jesus to come and be with you. Could be the person of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the light, the love of Jesus. And just be with him now. Listen to him. Share with him. We thank you, Lord, for just these few minutes of quietness and stillness, becoming holy by your presence. And so, my brothers and sisters, know that each of us We are called to ministry, and we are gifted for that ministry, empowered by the Holy Spirit in that ministry. But also know, in our humanness, we're vulnerable to our ministry becoming a distraction and a worry that keeps us from taking that time to be with Jesus. Our Lord, our friend, who invariably is waiting for us to simply be with us, to renew us, refresh us, and even bring healing to us. We thank you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.